All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Onside Inside podcast, where we dive deep into the stories of the extraordinary individuals who are shaping this industry and inspiring others along the way. I'm your host, Corey Tompkins, and today we have the privilege of sitting down with Sam Acklin, founder of Alpha Tradie. From starting as a successful business and scaling it nationally and empowering others, Sam embodies the modern alpha philosophy in his professional and personal life. Join us as we explore his insights and experiences and lessons he's learned on his remarkable journey. Sam, welcome to the show.
This is a little bit of a different one today. This will be the first time we've done an episode via Zoom. So, you know, apologies in advance for any of you listeners that are listening that it might not be the same. That is why. So we are currently up to episode 12. So listen in, buckle up. It's going to be a good one. And Sam, thank you for joining us today. I know you're a busy man and you've got a lot going on. And you're doing some big things. So thank you again for jumping on. And if you want to just start out by giving our listeners anyway a bit of a background about yourself and how you currently got involved in the trade and all that sort of stuff.
Perfect. All right, let's kick it off. Thank you very much for having me. I want to address the elephant in the room straight away that I'm not a trade, never have been, and probably never will go to trade school. I get ripped in on social media a fair bit and I kind of have to giggle about it. So I'm Sam Acklin from Alpha Tradie. I mentor trades typically doing between $1 to $2 million. My skill set lies in taking them from there to the $3, $4, $5 million mark, effectively alleviating all of the stress. At the moment, everything comes straight into them and their mentality, and probably your mentality listening in at home, is if I grow bigger, it's going to be more work for me. So my job is to come in and grow the company whilst making less work for them. So as a father of two, I really understand the importance of, and I hate this term, but work-life balance. But I'm more thinking about the phrase and the terminology of building lifestyle empires, because I like money, I like nice things, I like time with my kids, but I also like doing heaps good work. So I'm trying to combine those together, and we're coming out with like this term of lifestyle empire, and how do we build that? So everybody's got their own different version and vision of how it looks, but generally there's going to be a certain amount of cash flow, a certain amount of equity, and then a certain amount of freedom as well. So I'm big on like experience and things. I just got back from a family trip to a friend's wedding in Italy, trying to help the guys understand that you're not chained to your business. You don't have to be here 6 days a week, but also I'm not here to build those pump and dump lifestyle, move to Bali type operations. If you want to do that, find somebody else. I'm about building really good businesses full of really good people, but also giving the founders, you know, a bit of flexibility about their life and kind of getting out of that 7 to 3 mentality. So prior to getting into the mentorship space, I'm a major shareholder and founded and scaled a construction cleaning company. So I'm still a shareholder in there, but not active as far as operational goes. That's called Build Clean. We scaled from my backyard in Adelaide around the country now. So we're about to tackle WA, but we've done the whole Eastern Seaboard. So that company sits around the 160, 170 staff members. So we've seen quite a few complexities growing from different levels of middle-level management, insourcing and outsourcing, different types of admin agencies. So all of those kind of things, I've had a really good understanding, and then actually getting up to the executive level as well, which is something that a lot of the guys don't necessarily cross when we start to talk about things like corporate governance and having virtual CFOs and those kind of things. I find really interesting because I'm still kind of learning some of that phase as well. So that is, kind of my background into the trade space. So I work exclusively with trades and contractors. I don't do any builders. The cleaning company and scaling that has given me a really good understanding of how to grow business and how to grow it quite fast too. So recently, closer to where you are, I've actually got an equity stake in a aircon company up in the Sunny Coast. So you're probably seeing me get my tan on.
You should come up here and see us. It's not that fucking sunny at the moment. It's pissing down rain out here, but that sounds great. So I think, you know, obviously to some of the listeners, if they don't know, you know, I knew about you before we even reached out. Alpha Tradie has grown immensely in such a short period anyway, I feel. you know, what has been some of the driving factors or pivotal moments for you along that way that's helped you scale that company nationally, like reaching out to, you know, because I know that there's people up this end that use, like, have you basically taken what you did with the build clean scenario and applied that to Alpha Trader, or how did that all eventuate?
Yeah, really solid question, because it's kind of going to stump me and I need to think it through. I'm buying myself time.
I've got another question that'd be a little bit easier for you.
I've got to break it down into pieces. So I really have to, because the company's exceeded, you know, the build clean company has exceeded where I'm currently doing a lot of work with my clients through Alpha Trading. I've had to kind of go back through like my old journals and my old notes, and my old calendar a couple of years ago to get myself into the mindset of what it was like to be between the really fucking hard period is between $750K and $1.5 million of revenue. Regardless of your profitability, it's a really hard spot because you do everything. You've got like 5 to 8 Day guys design. In your team. Everyone's asking fucking everything all the time. And I had to go back and like revisit the right kind of mentality. What was I like? Because I can't give my advice now from what I currently do. Guys are like, you know, what's your schedule like? It's irrelevant what I do now, because I need to get into that kind of framework of what it was like then. So what I've done is I've gone back through, I've worked out what I did that was a monumental waste of time and what we did that was a really good idea, and tried to simplify it down to like 3 core key points of pipeline, people, and performance. They're the real key elements to think about. And there's really only bottlenecks pop up in those 3 parts. So now when I'm working with guys and you guys listening in at home, you're probably thinking about your business now and going, well, do I have enough leads? Do I have enough work coming in? Is my schedule full enough? If yes, move on to people. Are the guys in my team good enough? Are they adequate or are they great? And then working out whether that can actually fulfill the pipeline that's coming up. And then after we've got pipeline and people, is a company performing? Is there profitability? How is cash flow? Do I need to learn more about the performance and performance metrics in order to manage increasing pipeline, increasing people? Is that concept make sense?
Yeah. It's like this is literally something that me and Nick were talking about the other day, like one of the questions. And, you know, I think the question was that we got asked was, what was it? Something along the lines of like, is this, how do I handle risk? And how am I currently sitting with risk, or something along those lines? And I basically said to Nick that, those dollar values, that 750 to 1.5, 2 is like probably up there with one of the most dangerous periods of a business. And, you know, you being a coach, you would understand as well, but it's, you know, profitability doesn't really budge. You don't really make, you know, everyone sees the biggest, the more staff, the office, the growth, and they all think that you're cashing in massive amounts of bills.
You just spend in reality, more expensive staff.
Yeah, in reality is. And like for the listeners, it's like you actually don't. When you're in that phase, that has got to be one of the most dangerous periods, because your expenses go through the roof. You're just trying to grow. But unfortunately, a lot of guys, and as I said, you're a coach, you would see it as well. A lot of guys don't take that next step. They love to either stay at that 750 mark or that 700 mark where they're still swinging a hammer and, you know, it's comfortable. You can still make your 2,000, 2,500 a week and, you know, you haven't really got much stress. But it's when you get to that next part, that million, 1.5 period, and you're like, yo, I thought we were gonna make a shit ton of money. Nothing's happening. And I'm just fucking, all this money's just going out the door. That's where I feel anyway, that guys just, they throw it in and it's a little bit too hard. But I guess once you break through that barrier of that 1.5, 2 million mark, you get out the other end, you can really, that's when you can really reap the benefits of it. But it's a fucking,
it's a roller coaster.
It's a massive thing that a lot of guys don't talk about like that. It's very underestimated. Like to the broader community, when people hear about $1.5, $2 million, they don't, like, it's a business, they probably don't think that that's a lot. Like you think about businesses that do 20, 30, 50, 40, you know, but if you put it in context, it's probably a lot harder to go from the 750 to the $2 million mark than it is to go from the $2 million mark to the $20 million mark.
100%.
You know, I feel anyway, like it's
exactly the actions that you're taking between, let's say, pre-2 and post-2, the actions that you're taking pre-to are all, like, you can see direct, they're all short-term actions. You can see direct responses from the things you're doing. And then everything post $2 million, because you're like a degree of separation away from actually where things happen, it's not as hard per se, as in, like, it's not brute force labor in the pre-to. Post-to, it's more like, I have to think about it. I have to make sure it's the right decision. Everybody else has to implement it. And then I got to wait until it actually comes to fruition before I know whether it worked or not. It's kind of more airy-fairy guesswork, but the time horizon spans out further, and then the growth is exponential from there.
Yeah. Do you find that it's quite common for guys that are in that danger zone? Do you find, like, obviously you're helping them now currently with the current business that you got, you're helping them punch through, but do you find that a lot of guys just get stuck in their ways in that period, and they don't have that drive to get through?
Yeah, absolutely.
$1.5-2 million mark. Like, and they almost want to subconsciously jump. Like, they almost subconsciously want to, like, cave in and just go back down to, you know, oh, it's all right, I'll just jump back on the tools for 2 days or this, or, you know.
Exactly. And there's a couple like key figures or almost mentalities or mindset shifts that happen. Is that you have to go from being the guy that does everything to the guy that does relatively nothing. And it's really hard for some guys, like, particularly when a lot of the work we do is like, what's your ideal job first, is something that I really want guys to understand. Because if they want to be still doing the trade, then their revenue is going to be capped around the 1.5 mark. You're not really going to push further than that. And they don't generally need to. Yes, they still stay in such a volatile area. But if they want to be project manager and beyond and continue to push themselves up through the org chart, they definitely have to learn a whole new set of skills. It becomes from being just a glorified qualified into actually being a managing director and having to manage and direct everything. So there's also a spot where a lot of businesses will stay intentionally below as well. It's where payroll tax comes in. And usually you're going to see that around like the $3 million revenue mark. Companies with high materials are going to be a little bit higher than that, but generally payroll tax around the country, it changes, but the general premise is around the $1.5 million of your total cost of wages. That's where you'll start to get pulled into this payroll tax thing. So a lot of companies will actually be advised by their accountants to go, if you're not going to go significantly further past that, stay below it so that you don't get the additional 5% tax on your total cost of wages. So there's an interesting point there as to why, like, a lot of companies.
Yeah, that's actually quite interesting. Free. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a strategic play, but you still get a really good style of work, and you still get a really good role as far as being the managing director of your company from a sub three. So that 2.5 to 3 mil would be a great spot.
Yeah. That's actually quite interesting. Like, for someone like myself, you know what I mean? I haven't really thought about that, but I guess, yeah, as you said, there's levels to it. And I think if you're honest with yourself and you decide how far you really want to go, you know, for me, if you ask me now, I want to go to the fucking moon. But
do you want to work together? You know, though? That's the thing. It's a fucking long work.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, for me, like, it's never, like, slowing down and being in that has never been on my radar. But everybody, each to their own. So, but anyway, I've got a few more questions to ask you. We'll keep going through them. You're a very interesting guy, so I want to pick your brain a little bit more. And I know this is opposite to you because you're usually the one that running the meetings. But now, what sort of inspired you? As you sort of touched on, you had that cleaning company at the start, but what was the main probably thing that sparked you or inspired you to go down the path of mentoring and leadership and development and stuff? Like, did you see a hole in the market? Did you witness something happen in your life that sort of made you do that? Like, what was that? How did that all work?
So there's kind of two components to it. The cleaning company was expanding and it was going into state. We'd launched into state. I ran the first from Adelaide to Queensland expansion with our directors and our team there. And we then replicated that, mapped it out, and this is going a couple of years ago. It got to the point where we could, it's not like a crystal ball, but we could pretty well guarantee this is going to happen. You know, the plan was set. And I've got a bit of a brain where I like to do like really hard, really fast, really quick, and then have a little bit of, deload time. It's kind of like when I'm at the gym as well. I like to push really hard for a few weeks and then everything just caves in. So I'm a bit of an extremist in that. But getting back to the business side, because everything was set and the plans were in motion, it's kind of getting a little bit of, idle hands, and I don't like to have idle hands. So we were establishing where is the biggest cost components in a company as we're going through getting ready to then duplicate into multiple areas. Where are the biggest costs? We did some risk analysis as well. But the main component that we came up with is because I've got a 50-50 business partner in the overall group, we looked at our roles, the jobs that we were doing, and I was just a glorified coffee drinker. So we almost got, we did effectively get to the point where I'd made myself completely redundant within my own company, which looking back on it was the goal the whole way along. I went from, being on the tools to then being a project manager to then being the sales manager to then being the managing director. And I had my business partner come with me and he was always, filling in that position. Then I'd move to the next one and fill in until he got to the point where we decided that he might as well take the CEO role and I might as well duck off and do my own thing. Circling back, I love drinking an extreme amount of caffeine and I love talking about business. So combining those two things together, being in the mentorship role gives me the opportunity to get my hands onto people's businesses, put in all of the opinions and ideas and things that are tested, and then see it come to fruition. And I get to kind of sit back and go, I built all of this stuff for my family. Now I get to build shit for their families. And then they're sending me pictures, like I'll be sitting on the couch with my kids watching, Bluey in the afternoon, and I'll get a picture from one of my lads being like, I've just been nominated for award, or, going, taking the day off to take my daughter out for daddy-daughter day type shit. So I'm starting to get to the point where I'm actually getting the impact returns come back to me, and it's so fucking cool. So it was a bit unintentional to the mentorship space, but...
Yeah.
The more I'm doing it and the more impact we're having, the more it's like this feedback loop of like, I got to keep doing more. I got to keep doing more. I got to help more guys.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Congratulations. You're halfway through this episode. I hope you guys are really enjoying it. But first, I just want to make a special thank you to Ideal Group Australia. Without them, I wouldn't be able to bring this podcast to you. So special thank you. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Buckle in and get ready to listen to the end of this episode.
Yeah, now you've started the snowball effect with another company, and you're like, I just want to.
Exactly. Yeah, just keep going.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things. It's probably way more, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's probably like way more personally rewarding, doing. I feel anyway, like helping other people out versus when you're just building a company and you're doing X, Y, and Z, and you see the profits go up and whatever. But I guess when you got that personal aspect of it with the family and stuff like that, like you would surely get a massive kick out of that, and that would just drive you even further to want to do more and expand more and go harder.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. And it brings everything together. Like I really I'm a big sharer as far as like social media and like open booking the companies and just everything. I'm very like, you see it, this is what it is. Being in mentorship space, I pretty much always work with guys who are young dads because we just get along really well. But it gives me the opportunity to be like, I can share my kids. I can share like the holidays that we're on. I can share all this stuff because it's all intertwined together. We're all doing it because we want to put them in private school and we want to give them the best shit that they can possibly have. So it all just works together. It's great. So much fun.
Yeah. So beyond business, right? You've mentioned that you are a father, a husband. Talk to us about your personal life. What are some of the stuff that you like to do, that keeps you, other than your massive caffeine addiction, that keeps you sharp and, driven? Like, is it the holidays aspect? Is it like, what are some of the things that, that sort of drives you and balances you in your personal life against your business? Because obviously you would have stresses as well, like everyone. I know everyone would probably think and look at you and go, oh yeah, he's all right. He's got, because we get a lot of apprentices that listen in, oh, it's all right. He's got a national cleaning company. He probably just sits at home and twiddles his thumbs. At the end of the day, there's always stresses with each level. What I'm trying to get is just context for the listeners, just so they know that it's not all just sitting at the couch playing Xbox, twiddling your thumbs.
It's all spreadsheets. From here, from this position onwards, it is all spreadsheets, zero files, financial docs, as far as like the day-to-day nuts and bolts. But I've constructed my life in a way. I'm big on like lifestyle archetyping and having a really conscious effort at the way I construct my life. So I get up first thing, 5 o'clock in the morning, go to the gym. I've got an hour and a half to get through that and have breakfast and everything else. But I like moving weights and like doing things consistently. So I'll do that 5 days of the week, Monday to Friday, to line up my same thing every day. I'm also an extreme amateur jiu-jitsu hobbyist. And I got into that just out of wanting to have some applied version of my strength. You know, that I, as far as a natural progression goes, I always like to do things as good as it can get. And the natural progression of going to the gym, you get to a certain size and a certain body weight, you know, you get to the 90 kilo and you're moving some into the bro weight area. And then the natural progression is to just juice. You know, if you want to be the best of the best, you got to start juicing. So I then had the little, the mentality of like, well, I don't really want to do that. I don't really want to get on stage to be the best of the best in that. So I'll take that applied strength and I'll put it into something that's a bit of human origami. So a few of my friends were doing some jiu-jitsu and I went down there and got choked out a few times and thought, I could fuck around with this.
I'm sure you're I'm sure your wife would have loved that. Babe, I'm doing jiu-jitsu now.
She doesn't get it. Doing another thing. It's a cuddle club in our house.
have you got boys or boys or girls or how does that all...
We got the perfect set. So I got a 3-year-old boy, 9-month-old girl. My lad loves cars, trucks, and planes. So we will a couple times a week we'll go for a bit of a hell ride. I got a pretty quick stage 2 tune bloody AMG, so I take him for a burn in that.
Watch
to the sides of his child seat. So that's something that we do for a bit of fun. We like to go fast. We ride motorbikes a little bit up at the shack in the Riverland as well.
Yeah. All right. That sounds so good.
I only ride probably once a year, you know. It's not like I get to do this stuff every weekend.
That's all right. I got 2 girls, so I'm currently consistent of my oldest, she's learning makeup and babies and we don't really do anything like that. But
what color nail polish are you running today?
clear all around.
Good man, yeah, shellac, baby, let's go.
In your experience, because I guess what I'm trying to get to is, in your experience, you obviously deal with a lot of tradies, whether they sign up to your course through communicating, just in general, you deal with a lot of trades. What's some of the biggest challenges that you see them being faced with as entrepreneurs? Or is it a mindset thing that you find that is the most common thing amongst the group? Is it they want to scale, but they don't actually want to scale? Is it them not really knowing that they like? Just tell me from your perspective, someone that obviously deals with a lot of tradies, what is probably some of the key things that you find that they struggle with, or the challenges amongst the community?
It's proper planning. It's taking the time to do the airy fairy task. You know, as if to sit there with a blank piece of paper. I'm not saying that you have to journal every morning, but to sit there with even just an A3 piece of paper, fucking sheet of 1200 by 2400 and a texter if you have to. But think about where you are now and think these guys need to think about where they are now and then what they want to achieve over a span. Now, it doesn't have to be 1, 3, 5, 10 years. Just span it to wherever you can think.
Because I guess a lot of guys can have heaps of vision. You know, some guys can vision 10 years, but some guys can't even vision next week.
Exactly. So I guess, But fundamentally, the guys and all the guys that I see, they're not taking the time to plan effectively. So I always like guys to come when we start things out to go, where do you want to be? I don't mind where the timeline is. I just want to know what is the Northern Star in your mind. So is it 12 months away? Is it 10 years away? Is it 3 commercial properties? Is it just leasing a commercial space? Like, let's just get some tangible stuff in some sequential order. And then we can work back from there to what do we need to do in the next 12 months in order to ensure we're on the right run rate to get that way, whatever way that is. Does that make sense? Because it's a very hard task to go and be working 50, 60, 70 hour weeks, heaven forbid, and then actually go, I'm going to take 2 hours of actual clarity and no distractions and no phone and work out what I want. No one ever does that. And the very they already have a commercial property. They've already started to stack these future compounding interest equity stakes and, you know, things that are growing in the background. You know, you can tell the guys that are taking some time to plan because they have made some of these moves already.
Yeah. I find, like, for myself, like, I speak to a fair few guys now. You know, a lot of the time they're quite successful in their own industry already. But, you know, just for the broader community, apprentices, people thinking about running it, you know, wanting to start a business, you know, I literally had the conversation with my wife not long ago, like, we're thinking about doing a side thing. And, I find that, you know, a dream's only ever a dream. It all comes down to execution. You can have the best idea, the best fucking logo, the best whatever you want to do in your head. But if you can't fucking execute on that, it may as well just be nothing. The guy that doesn't have the best dream or the best logo or the best look, but he's a killer executor, he'll win every day, every single fucking day. And I feel like to be that really good executor, you have to have a plan. And I'm not talking a fucking plan that you just think in your head. You physically got to have a plan. You got to have it written down somehow. And, you know, for the guys that are listening, the apprentices and stuff, the guys that envision having the AMG fucking, you know, smacking gears with their kid and like doing heaps of stuff and, you know, having a really nice house, you know, having that dream, that's all good and well to have the dream. But if you're just there day in and day out saying to yourself that, yeah, it's going to happen, I'm going to do it, and you got no actual plan, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're going to close your eyes in 5 years' time, you're still going to be doing the same thing. You got to really think about it. Yeah.
It passes so quickly. All of the, you only see the material stuff. You know, you don't see any of the other stuff that goes on. But all of the material things were all things that I'd premeditated. You know, it's not like you just go out one day and you buy a Mercedes or you go out and you get a Land Cruiser. The 200 series is still my fucking all-time favorite car. But they were things where I was driving the Hiace. I was journaling for an LC 200. And this went on for like 3 or 4 years. Every morning, there was five things that I needed to do short term. And then there was five longer term material reflections that I'd made it. So, and that, you know, that's 10 little dot points that I'd write every morning, but, and they do change over time, but it's not like you just go out and buy all this.
Isn't it funny? Sorry to interrupt, but isn't it funny is if you actually do journal correctly, this is something that's probably, I've only just started doing the last 18 months, but if you do actually journal correctly, you will see over time how shit, it's like, it just changes, you know?
Yep.
You really view on things and the way that, material things. Like for me, it was like fitness and like health and you know, better relationship with my wife and stuff like that. And now it's like, you can see it literally, like it does change over time.
You like subconsciously or consciously start ticking them off and they just migrate. They go, you know, Hilux, Land Cruiser to fucking whatever's after that, Dodge Ram. But you know, you get those, the material and the intangible things, they migrate, yet you end up leveling up to make harder problems and harder problems to solve.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's so true. Like for me, I've almost gone the opposite. You know, I've gone, you know, I had the really nice ute and all that sort of stuff, but then I don't know, it was just once you had it and that was it. Like it didn't tickle my fancy anymore. And I just thought, what are some better things that I can be doing? And, you know, now I'm at the other end, I've like gone back down to zero and I'm like chewing at it again. But, that you know, for me personally, that's probably been the biggest thing is planning accordingly. And, you know, just understanding that it doesn't matter if the plan doesn't go exactly how you want it to, but you can't fucking, you can't wish that you're going to be the best thing, the best brand. I'm going to move here. I'm going to buy this house. I'm going to do this and that. That's all just fairy dust at the end of the day if you don't actually have it on paper and execute. And that's, I guess, that's another fucking thing on its own as well. You can write it all down every morning if you
take
want.
Take action on it.
But
you
if you're not going to actually fucking execute it
and fucking get it done.
Yeah. 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 No, 100%. So, all right. We've got a segment here that we usually like to do face to face, but I'm going to try this first time for you guys that are listening. It's going to be the first time that we do this over Zoom. So it's the fire round of questions. So just try to answer them as best you can, as fast as you can. Cool. You know, you can blame the lag on the internet. You're still trying to think. So yeah, we've sort of tailored them the best that we can to you. So, all right, here we go. Now, top productivity tips for a busy work day.
Question
what are some top tips that you've got?
Oh, top tips for a busy work day.
Prioritize.
Yep. All right. Just take 1 minute, 2 minutes just to prioritize it. That way you can just tick it off sequentially. Probably do the slightly easier to obtain things first and then tackle the harder ones. That way at least you can get some momentum. You can get a feedback loop for things that are actually working and continue forward and just take massive action.
All right, so do the fucking list, guys, if you're listening.
Yep. Prioritize it and then do it. All right. Don't stop until it's done.
Okay. Now, if you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, fuck. I've never been asked that question before.
Got him.
Michael Schumacher. That would be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dead or alive. Freddie Mercury.
Oh, yeah. Fuck,
you'd have some
stories. Didn't pick you as that sort of guy, yeah?
You'd have some fucking stories.
Oh. yeah, it'd be hectic.
Who else? Dead or alive? Richard Branson would be really cool. I'd love to do that.
That would be a good one. He's actually fuck, he lives an interesting life. I've read two books of his. Man, I'll tell you what. Yeah. Interesting fellow he is. All right. If you could change one thing about the construction industry, what would it be?
Payment terms.
The trades in payment terms. Yes.
Yep. I think commercial and residential.
24-hour payment terms.
Well, I mean, we don't do checks anymore. So why have a 30-day lag? Why have 30 days end of month? That's absolutely ludicrous. Why have 60 days end of month is fucking astronomical. How hard can it be for an email to get sent directly to an admin department with a purchase order on it? It'd be processed and paid within 7 business days. How fast?
Isn't it funny how that is literally... Yeah, that is literally like got to be up there with one of my biggest pet peeves is payment terms and how that whole fucking structure. Like it was only recently about the start of January this year, we did a job at the start of the year for this builder. They approached us, everything was sweet. And stupid me, because they approached us, I was thinking, oh, the terms would be in our favor, surely. So I didn't really even think about it. I had the contract there, everything was there. And I seen 25 days, but I didn't see 25 days end of month. So I was like, fuck. And then I remember we had a backlog of invoices and I remember touching with their accounts department. I said, oh, just letting you know, like what's going on. And they said, oh, it's 25 days EOM. I went, what is this, fucking 2017? I said, what? And they went, yeah, that's as per the agreement. I'm like, who the fuck? And I went off. I was like, who the fuck? I was like, who in their right mind is doing this? I said, are you trying to tell me that I've got to now wait? I had to wait like an extra 5 weeks. I was like, what for? And he's like, oh, that's just how it is.
Yeah,
I'm like, I literally blew up. I was like, this is straight up robbery. You guys are just using me as a bank.
The perspective of selling a house where you can line up settlement and purchase, and I've only just done this a few weeks ago, line up settlement and purchase on the same day. We're talking like hundreds of thousands of dollars can be transitioned like that. And they're planned. Why can't we have planned purchase orders where the job's finished, the job's signed off? Yes, there's retention and a few other bits and pieces, but why can't there be a moment in time where it's like, bang, everybody agrees, transfers, gone.
Yeah. And I guess this is something that because you don't deal with builders and like it's a trade, like tradies, they're always the one getting fucked. But it's basically like, I feel anyway, you know, we have tens and tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars outstanding at some points in time, like for us personally. And you almost feel like we're a fucking bank. We're just waiting on end of month. And you miss end of month. Guess what, son? You got to wait again another month. But yet, you know, and then it's always, oh, we've got to wait, you know, we need approval from the bank. The QA has got to come out and do this. And it's like, fuck, like, you know, oh man, that's probably, yeah, that's got to be up there with one of the biggest pet peeves. So anyway, we'll keep moving. All right. All right. One piece of advice for aspiring entrepreneurs in the construction space. What's one piece of advice that you've got for them?
Plan appropriately, take massive action.
Love that.
It's not one piece, but they're interchanged. They're tied together.
Love that. Yeah, they're tied together.
And then take massive fucking action. The faster action you can take, the faster you can get feedback on it, the faster you can work out whether it worked or not. And then if it works, cool.
Beautiful. Have a big set of cojones on you. Yeah. All right. All right. Favorite book or podcast that's influenced your career? Something that either you still listen to date? Here you go. He's got something.
Two favorite podcasts, Modern Wisdom and Hormozy's the Game, but that's not relevant for our guys. That's more for my business because I'm in the online space.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
This book is the perfect one. Yeah. Back to front in the video. It's called The Great Game of Business by Jack Stack and Bo Burlingham. It's about incentivizing. It's not directly related to construction. It's from a manufacturing company in the States. But take some time, guys, to listen to it. Don't worry about reading it. It takes too long. Listen to it. It just gives you some really good insights about how to bring incentivization into your company and get everybody else to think like owners. It really helps.
Yeah. All right. That was good. That was probably our best round. Yeah, good job. I like that.
Does it make a difference whether it's Zoom or not, baby? Let's go.
Oh, man. That was good. That was good. I like that. That was some really good. That was some really good feedback for those questions. It wasn't really a fire round that one, but hey, as long as you listeners that are listening in got some little golden nuggets out of it anyway. So, but anyway, Sam, we're coming to the end of the podcast. So, you know, I guess the thing is now, what's next for Alpha Tradie? Where are you guys, you know, are you guys niching down? Are you doubling down on what you're doing now? Is there any sort of exciting things in the works? You know, you're definitely making waves in the community, that's for sure.
Yeah, as much as I'd love to say I'm going to start at Alpha Tradie with the intention to like take over the country, be the biggest coaching platform available to trades and services, I don't really care for that anymore. I want to do really, really good work with a really tight group of guys. I want to know them well. I want to be on first name chatting text message basis. I want to share our wins together with them. I don't want to have 1,000 dudes that were all in group coaching program and everyone's going to get pushed into these different rooms. I just want to work with a select few dudes. So if you're listening and you're growing your company and you want to work one-to-one with someone who gives a fuck, hit me up. Yeah. Get me at sam.acklin on Instagram. But I'm keeping it tight. I'm keeping it real. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. As I said, you know, I've had a look at it. It's definitely something for you guys. If you are at that 750 mark and you know you don't know where to go, or you know there's guys like Sam that are there to help, and I can truly recommend getting on board and you know taking advantage of what he's got to offer, because you know the proof's in the pudding. He has walked the path, even though he might not be a fucking tradie at the end of the day. If you are in that point and you want to scale, you'll soon realize that it doesn't matter how good you can swing a hammer in it, and it's got nothing to do with it. It comes down to, you know, how good of a businessman you actually are. So, but yeah, Sam, I want to thank you for getting on. And when you do eventually come up to Queensland, I want you to come back in here and we're going to sit down and go round two again. And,
well, I'm flying into Brizzy next week, but I'll be jumping straight in the car and going to Caloundra.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely line something up, whether or not, you know, I come down there or whatnot. But, you know, thanks again for jumping on. I hope you guys that are listening got some sort of insight into what happens on site. And, yeah, thanks for jumping on. Thanks Sam.
Really appreciate it, guys. Cheers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode. If something hit home for you, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could like and share this podcast with someone else that would benefit from it. Tune into next week's episode, as this will be one that you don't want to miss.